Soler cranks one into deep left center field, and that will be gone into the Royals' bullpen. And Soler hits his first home run in a long time. That's a three-run shot.
The 1-2.
And it gets into right field! Goodrum will score! Go crazy! Grossman wins it for the Tigers on a 1-2 bullet down the first baseline.
And the Royals lose last night after being down 7-0. They come all the way back, rally, tie it up, only to lose it in the bottom of the ninth on the walk-off single. As you just heard, Royals fall for the ninth straight time. They're 16-18. Jorge Soler with six RBIs, a career high. The three-run homer you heard, his first home run since April 21st. He's been very disappointing so far offensively for the Royals. And the Royals down 4-0 after 4, 7-0 after 5. Brady Singer was chased after 3 1/3, 4 strikeouts, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks. He's usually been pretty good against the Tigers. And Zuber and Brents not great in relief. Santana held down the fort, and then Barlow comes in and hits the leadoff man, and that's never a good thing when you put the leadoff man aboard, especially if a walk or a hit batter. And he came, got back to where he got 2 outs, 2 strikeouts, but then the hit to score the game winner, and the Royals fall to the Tigers. They're now 16-18 on the season. Mike Matheny, manager of the Royals, on another heartbreaking finish.
They're all hard. That one was exceptionally hard because of how the guys worked and everything that we've been asking of them. It's just stay the course, keep fighting, and good things are going to turn out, and they will. But it's just, you get that kind of swing there late. I hurt for them, and they got to know that when they keep playing like that, that we'll be right where we want to be. But this is just everyone hurts out on their luck.
Royals offensively, let's see. Benintendi with a couple more hits. Soler did have 2 hits last night. Nicky Lopez, 2 hits, 2 runs scored, but it wasn't enough as the Royals fall. 8-7 to the Tigers. The Royals will be back in it again coming up today. This evening at 6:10, Danny Duffy on the hill, 4-2 area, ERA of 1.26 against the Tigers in Motown. Local sports, Dusty.
Yes, results from yesterday's action in the area is the Beloit Trojans were hosting Sacred Heart. Those games were supposed to be Salina, but they were moved to Beloit, and Sacred Heart gets a sweep there. 8-1 in game one. The second game was an exciting one, but Sacred Heart coming away with the win 11-10 in 8 innings. It was tied at 5 at one point, and Beloit extended their lead out to 9-5 with 5 runs in the fifth inning there, but Sacred Heart scored 4 runs to tie it at 9 in the sixth. In the top of the eighth, Beloit got 1 to lead 10-9, but Sacred Heart scored 2 in the bottom of the ninth. Beloit just 1 strike away from winning, but a walk forced in a run, and then Pitts got away for the final run for Sacred Heart to end up with the walk-off, basically 11-10 there, as Sacred Heart again getting the sweep there last night. Beloit now 2-16, 1-9 in the NCAA, and Sacred Heart improved to 9-7 and 5-3 in league play. Clay Center also getting a sweep over Concordia yesterday in baseball, 9-0 and 4-3. Concordia is now an even 8-8 on the season on the baseball field. Also yesterday in golf, the Tipton Invitational, team-wise, Lakeside took the championship with 305, ahead of St. John's in second with 341, and Tipton finished in third with 354. Individually, Zach Rose of Sylvan Lucas was first place with a 65 on the day. Taryn Winkle of Lakeside and Kylan Cunningham both had 71s, but Winkle won the tiebreak and takes second, Cunningham third. Cooper Brown of Lakeside was fourth. Fifth place finish for Joshua Towner of Tipton, rounding out top 10 from the area. Jared Eitzman of St. John's, seventh. Eighth for Ross Hudson of Lakeside. Oscar Montero of St. John's was ninth. And Reed Walsh of Lakeside finished in 10th place at the Tipton Invitational on Tuesday there. Also in the NCAA League meet in Salina, Sacred Heart running away with the championship in that one as a team with 303. Ellsworth was second, way back with 376. The top 6 individuals were all from Sacred Heart there, as Caleb Gilliland took the gold medal individually with a 73 on the day, as he finished as the champion in that one. So, again, that's the latest of what happened yesterday in high school sports. And for those golf tournaments, you can find the full results at ncksports.com. More high school sports coming up later this week with some league track and field meets and more. And We'll keep you up to date on everything with all the local sports. That's always posted right at your fingertips at ncksports.com with the latest in the area.
Regional softball and baseball brackets should be coming out.
Yeah, it should be coming out this morning or later this afternoon. At some point, we'll have all that. Hopefully, we have it on our noon sportscast. We'll be able to tell you where all the area teams will be playing next week and who they'll be playing in the first round.
Beloit baseball team last night, man, the first game, they hit the ball hard many times, but right at people, and lost 8-1. And then the second game, they had many opportunities to win. But that's, I think, a sign of a team that's growing and learning. Beloit playing some very young players, 3 or 4 freshmen in some cases. And we're right there and had a chance to win. Couldn't quite get it done. Sacred Heart found a way. Sacred Heart's outfield was outstanding defensively last night. And Beloit had a two-run homer from Maddox Waters over the fence. A legitimate big-time hit by the freshman Maddox Waters. So Beloit did fall, but there are brighter days ahead. Kind of like what basketball was like. And we saw how football, they struggled and then got better late in the year and made a deep run in the playoffs. Basketball, they struggled in regards to wins and losses. But the future is bright for Beloit if they can fight through that adversity and some of the growing pains. And that's what they're going through in many sports on the boys' side and even on the girls' side a little bit, as they did in basketball. But the girls' softball team's having a really good year. They have a chance to make state, certainly. And the Beloit boys baseball team, their one league win was against the best pitcher in the league, a 1-0 win. So if they can beat Minneapolis and their best pitcher, who's probably the best pitcher in the league, that gives you hope that you could maybe somehow pull one out with your best pitcher, Logan Arrowsmith, maybe pull off an upset in a first round of regionals, which it sounds like it'll be Larned that they'll play, and who knows how good their competition is. Mm-hmm. So you never know, but the regional brackets will come out, as Dusty said, later today for baseball and softball, and then lots of track and field in the days and weeks ahead. Regionals, we'll have reports coming up next week, and then, of course, state after that. All right, if you want to nominate Athlete of the Week, you can nominate, and all you need to do is go to ncksports.com, and you can email us and nominate Athlete of the Week. We had somebody that apparently at one point in time said something about, why wasn't my kid getting Athlete of the Week? Well, because nobody nominated him. That's how the process works. Dusty and I just don't pull stuff out of thin air. It's based on you, the public, nominating an athlete. So if you're a mom or a dad and you're wondering why your kid isn't getting Athlete of the Week, well, here's a thought. Nominate them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't read people's minds. So you nominate kids, and then we consider all the nominations. And sometimes we might have multiple nominations where one kid is clearly the best candidate to be Athlete of the Week. Just because you nominate a kid doesn't mean they're going to be Athlete of the Week, although there's a good chance they might be. So and explain why they should be Athlete of the Week. They'll just... Just don't say Jim and Jan is a great kid. No, we need to know, what did they do? What makes them special with Athlete of the Week? Did they hit 3 home runs in a game? You know, did they score 23 points and 6 3-pointers in a basketball game? Did they get 3 goals at a track meet? And what events they ran? Give us some information so we can spread the word about your, whether it's your child itself or somebody you know, a young athlete, girl or boy, so that we can let people know. And then you would have an Athlete of the Week mention. And it'd be posted, story, on our website, ncksports.com. So that's how the process works. Apparently, some people believe it just magically appears. Just like it magically appears a broadcast. You don't do anything. You just show up. There's a microphone. The school sets up all the equipment for you. Yeah. And you just roll in and you grab the mic and start talking. It doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. It does not. It also doesn't work that way. It's so simple to win baseball games, right? Not for the Royals. They've lost 9 in a row, as we mentioned. Here's an interesting story. The Oakland Athletics are not very happy about a stadium issue in regards to a brand new stadium. It's not, it's a privately financed stadium, but it requires $855 million commitment from the city to invest in and improve infrastructure there in Oakland. And anyway, the bottom line is that Major League Baseball, it sounds like, is supporting this idea where the A's are saying, hey, listen, we are open to transferring, relocating. Las Vegas would be obviously one that would stand out. Portland always gets mentioned. I know people in Omaha always say Omaha, which Omaha is not, I don't think, going to get a Major League Baseball team at all. But Las Vegas and Portland, Montreal, which of course lost their team when the Nationals were when the Montreal Expos. Nashville's been mentioned, San Jose. To me, Las Vegas would make a lot of sense, obviously. It's worked out pretty good for the NHL and the Golden Knights thus far, or in the early stages of that team's existence. So I would say Vegas would be the top
team.
Why not the baseball team? Yeah, football team's there now anyway. So it would make sense. But and then again, this could just be all a tactic, which I think it is, to try to strong arm and say, listen, you provide us a stadium, we're leaving town. That's what the Oakland Raiders did over and over and over with Al Davis. He went, they talked about Irwindale, and then they talked about going back to Oakland. They talked about going to L.A., and they talked about going to Vegas. If you watch the 30 for 30 documentary about Al Davis and his fight with Pete Rozelle, it's very, very, very interesting how Al Davis fought and fought and fought. And honestly, he was kind of ahead of his time because it became a big deal about brand new stadiums, and that's where teams have ended up relocating. But Pete Rozelle was also right. He said, once one team moves, all of a sudden, what's going to stop other teams? And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you had Cleveland moving, and you had the Colts moving, and this and that. And so they were right about that. But it is very interesting, 30 for 30 documentary. Turning our attention to football, the NFL schedule will be released. The full schedule will be released later tonight. Individual teams will post their information in regards to the schedule, and then they will have a whole long time to talk about the schedule on NFL Network because, you know, anyway, I'm not watching it, but because I have better things to do, to be quite honest with you. But the NFL Week 1 matchups have been released already, and the Chiefs will open up against Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr., if he's healthy. 3:25, a late game on CBS, Week 1 of NFL season. The Chiefs will host the Browns in a rematch of a divisional playoff game that came down to Chad Henne running for almost the first down and then throwing a pass on 4th and 1 to convert near midfield to Tyreek Hill. So it was exciting, mainly because Mahomes got hurt in that game, if you remember, with the so-called horrible concussion that later found out what we said all along was use your eyes instead of trying to copy what other people say. Use your common sense and use your brain between your ears. And you could find out that, Patrick Mahomes, that was a unique and weird injury, and it wasn't a massive, horrible concussion and everything else that people were saying. And that we told everybody he'd be back and ready to go next week and be fine, and he was. And the Chiefs rolled the Bills. So that'll be a rematch, Chiefs-Browns. The other Week 1 matchups, the kickoff, will be on NBC as the Buccaneers, the Super Bowl champion, hopefully for only 1 year, will host the Dallas Cowboys because they're America's team that underachieves. And then there will be the Eagles at the Falcons. The Steelers will be at the Bills. That's an interesting matchup to start the year. The Jets at the Panthers. The Niners at the Lions. The Bengals will host the Vikings. The Jags will be at the Texans. Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence's debut. And perhaps Tim Tebow will be playing tight end. Seahawks will be at the Colts. The Washington football team will host the Chargers. The Cardinals are at the Titans. The Dolphins are at the Patriots. The Packers at the Saints. No Rodgers versus Breeze. Might not be either one of those in that one. Breeze is retired, and Rodgers says he didn't want to play in Green Bay anymore. Broncos at the Giants. Could Aaron Rodgers be their starting quarterback and be on the team? Who knows? Bears at the L.A. Rams. And the Monday night game will be the Ravens at the Raiders. And that's the NFL Week 1 schedule. The full schedule released later tonight at about 6:45 and on the team websites. Go to kcchiefs.com to follow the Chiefs and see their schedule about 6:45 tonight, the full schedule. NFL Network will have the full release show if you want to watch that, which I won't. But you can if you like. Free country. 7 o'clock tonight on NFL Network if you even get that channel. We'll talk about the Chiefs' schedule coming up tomorrow on the show once it's fully released. The Chiefs, a lot of people will talk about how tough the schedule is. And what happens is teams that were good last year fall back. Teams that were bad last year end up being better than people think. And guess what? It's really a waste of time to worry about strength of schedule until you really get into the season.
Until you know what the strength of schedule is, right? Until you get into it.
Yeah, exactly. Sad news pass along. Colt Brennan, former Hawaii star quarterback, 2007 Heisman Trophy finalist, passed away at the age of 37. He was outstanding quarterback for Hawaii from 2005 to 2007. His dad told ESPN that his son attempted to check into a detox facility in California on Monday, but was turned away because the facility had no beds available at the time. Colt was at a hotel on Monday where he ingested a substance laced with fentanyl, leading to the paramedics to be called. He had battled personal demons throughout his life. He passed away Tuesday morning. He never regained consciousness. It caught up to him, you know, said former Hawaii coach June Jones. So sad, he could have owned the whole world over here. Brendan was a signal caller for the high-flying Rainbow Warrior offense under June Jones. He threw for over 14,000 yards, 131 touchdowns in just 3 seasons. He threw 58 touchdowns as a junior, broke the single-season touchdown passing record previously held by Houston's David Klingler. That record stood until Joe Burrow broke it a couple years ago with 60 touchdown passes for LSU. His senior year, he threw for 4,300 yards and 38 touchdowns, and Hawaii finished 12-0 and had a matchup against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Didn't they win that game against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl? I'm trying to remember if they did. It doesn't list whether they won or not in this story.
I don't know that Hawaii...
Don't know if they did. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't. I would think they would mention. I would think they'd mention if they did.
I think Hawaii is the one that didn't.
Okay, that could be. I know there's a few like
Utah beat Alabama. Yeah. I think the year before that in the Sugar Bowl. And I think Hawaii. Everybody was talking because Hawaii. I think might have been unbeaten. And
well, they were 12-0 going into that game. Okay. Yeah. Brennan, career completion percentage 70.4% is the best in FBS history. He remains tied atop the FBS record books for most career passing games of 400 plus yards of 20 of those. And the most seasons of 4,000 yards or more passing. That was three times. He started his college career in Colorado, dismissed from the Buffaloes after the season, following an arrest on burglary and trespassing, transferred to Saddleback College, Community College. Then he went to Hawaii. He was selected in the sixth round of the 2008 NFL draft by the Washington Redskins. He later played for the Raiders and was cut after a couple years in the National Football League. He played and bounced around some other professional leagues, but then eventually was in a bad car accident and had a brain injury, and people close to him said he never was the same person. So he had to battle a lot of demons, and it just goes to show you, you can have all the success in the world and be on top of the world and be on cloud nine, but it's a very high fall from there. And it happened to Cole Brennan. He passed away at the age of 37, so a very sad story there. I remember he was a really good quarterback.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He was right there, Heisman Trophy finalist, but no longer with us, unfortunately. All right, time for K-State in Focus. It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, K-State baseball team and K-State in Focus, brought to you by Heineken Electric and Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. K-State baseball team now 28-18 overall, 7-11 in conference play. They're only 2-10 in their 12 road games. They were at Baylor the most recent series, and a lot of runs. The Wildcats lost to Baylor in game one of the three-game series, 17-2, won game two, 10-3, and then lost 23-3. Gave up 15, was it, or 17 runs in one inning? Pretty bad stuff. Lost in seven innings to Baylor, 23-3. They'll be in Lawrence to take on the Jayhawks coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then they will close the season coming up next week, next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at home against TCU. And then the Big 12 tournament in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, May 26th through the 30th. So that's an update on K-State baseball. Former K-State men's basketball player having some success in the NBA, Dean Wade, who plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Of course, from Little St. John, Kansas, played 2A basketball, went to college, and then, of course, now in the pros. He has done very well recently. He's averaging 19 minutes per game for the Cavaliers. He's averaging 5.8 points, 3.2 rebounds. But the other night, on Monday, against the Pacers, he played 38 minutes, hit three threes, 19 points and 12 rebounds, a double-double for Dean Wade. Not bad for a kid from a small town in Kansas. So there are people that can make it to the big time from small towns. It is possible. It is very rare, no doubt, but it is possible. I saw this. It was very interesting. Somebody posted this. You know, the Chicago Bulls are considered the greatest team in NBA history because they didn't win the most games in history because the Warriors did that, but the Bulls won 72. The Warriors later on won 73, but the Bulls, of course, went on to win the championship. The Warriors did not, losing LeBron in Game 7 in 2016. But it is interesting. You look at the stars of the Chicago Bulls. Steve Kerr was undrafted. Scottie Pippen was playing NAIA basketball. Dennis Rodman was at a JUCO. And Michael Jordan was cut from his varsity high school basketball team. And those are the four main catalysts for the second run of three championships in a row for the Chicago Bulls. So it goes to say, you can get all riled up about McDonald All-Americans and five-star recruits in football. But at the end of the day, that doesn't guarantee you anything.
No. Go out and it also doesn't restrain anybody either, right? Like it, I always tell people that. Like we see Dean Wade doing good things, or you see Jordy Nelson doing good things. It's like understand that don't let somebody cap what your peak can be and what your ceiling can be. Don't let somebody tell you because you go to Riley County High School or St. John High School that you can't do it because you can.
Right.
Obviously. You know, it takes the gifts to be able to get that far and the work and hard work and talent and everything you need to do that. But I was like, don't let anybody cap you and say this is as far as you can go.
if you have a dream, then, you know, you go for it and then try to achieve it. And if you can, great. And if you can't, fine. But you decide when to give up on your dream. Don't let other people make that decision for you. The Cavaliers, though, unfortunately, Dean Wade's playing pretty good, but they've lost
They're
11 in a row.
They're not playing well, yeah,
no,
as a team.
They've lost 11 in a row, so they've been losing a lot. That's K-State. Peyton Williams I saw the other day, but I didn't really click on the story. Did she make the Seattle Storm team?
I think she's just signed for training
signed
camp,
for
basically.
Training camp. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought originally. But then I'd seen it, and I was like, isn't this old news? And I thought, well, maybe it's new news because she made the team or something.
Yeah, because
but
she
then
didn't,
I did a search, and it doesn't
do
anything
last
it.
Year, so it was right. Didn't end up getting anything of a chance last year in WNBA.
We'll see if she can make the WNBA team. Our focus on K-State Athletics today and every Wednesday brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit as well. And speaking of the NBA, the NBA playoffs are drawing near, and there were some interesting games that took place last night in the NBA. The Lakers fought off the Knicks in overtime, trying to avoid that play-in tournament as Horton Tucker hit a big three. Andrew Wiggins, former KU player, had 38 for the Warriors. They beat the Suns 122-116. So the Warriors have beaten the top two teams in the West the last two games.
Yeah.
And those two teams are the ones they'll probably see in the first round of the playoffs. So good luck with that. The Heat beat the Celtics 129-121. The Celtics reeling. The Heat are peaking. The Heat have won 10 of the last 13, and I think they're a scary team going in the NBA playoffs again. And the Pacers kept the Sixers from clinching number one seed in the East. The Pacers right now in the play-in tournament, and they were able to get a win last night as we go through all of the scores from last night. But those are some of the headlines. And we can tell you that the Grizzlies locked in a play-in berth as well. The Nuggets beat the Hornets 117-112. Good night for former Jayhawks, man. You know, I mentioned Wiggins with 38. Devontae Graham led the way with 31 for the Hornets, but the Hornets lost to the Nuggets 117-112. Nikola Jokic with 30 points, 11 rebounds. Timberwolves beat the T-Wolves 119-100. We mentioned the Heat over the Celtics 129-121. Jaylen Brown out for the season with a wrist injury, so that doesn't help the Celtics' chances. Kemba Walker led the way with 36. Clippers beat the Raptors 115-96, and the Pacers over the Sixers 103-94. It was the Nets finally getting a win. Kevin Durant with 21 beat the Bulls 115-107. You want to watch a guy that's fun but isn't really on the radar for a lot of people across the country? Zach LaVine, who tore his ACL a few years ago. Man, the guy's got amazing hops. And the dunk the other night, it was so funny. NBA guy just got out of the way. Like, I don't want to be on a poster. LaVine, 41 points for the Bulls.
Yeah, he's learned how to shoot, too.
Like, yes, he has.
He's
worked on his
game. He used to just be a dunker, right? And,
yes.
And a high flyer, but he has worked really hard to get to where he's at.
Drew Hanlon, who's a well-known coach that works with NBA players, he's worked with Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, among others, and Kelly Oubre, former Jayhawk, and R.J. Barrett, who's really taken off in year two, shooting 40% from three. LaVine has really made himself into a fine player. It takes a lot of work, and some of these kids, maybe even back for Zach LaVine early on, didn't realize it, now did, mature, and figure it out. Grizzlies beat the Mavericks 133-104. Ja Morant with 24. The Bucks over the Magic 114-102. Giannis 27 points, 12 rebounds. Wiggins 38. Devin Booker 34 for the Suns, but the Warriors did beat the Suns 122-116. Kings beat the Thunder 122-106, and the game didn't mean much. And then, as we mentioned, Lakers beat the Knicks in overtime 101-99. Andre Drummond 16 points, 18 rebounds. Julius Randle continues his fine season with 31. For the Knicks. So we look at the standings in the NBA and where things stand at the moment, because it changes every single day. In the East, the Nets are two games behind the Sixers with three to play. The Bucks are just a game behind the Nets for the two spot. If they catch the Nets, they'll have the tiebreaker and we get the two spot. The Hawks now and the Heat have moved ahead of the Knicks. The Knicks have gone from 4-6 because the Hawks, the Heat, and the Knicks are all 38-31. You talk about who knows who's going to play where and how and who's going to have home court. That's pretty crazy stuff. You could have the Bucks or the Nets could be playing the Hawks, the Heat, or the Knicks. And then the two seed could be facing the Celtics or the Hornets, the Pacers, or the Wizards. So there's a lot to be determined here. But right now the Celtics have the 7 spot, the Hornets the 8 spot. The Pacers are tied with the Hornets for the 8 spot, and the Wizards are a game behind. So a lot to sort out there. And in the Western Conference, the Suns are now 2 games back of the Jazz. So that loss for the Suns probably cost them the number one seed. And then the Clippers are the 3, but the Nuggets are on game behind the Clippers for the 3 spot. And then the Trailblazers at the 5, and the Mavericks are at the 6, and the Mavericks and Trailblazers only are a game up on the Lakers. So you could, the Blazers are at 5, the Mavericks are at 6, and the Lakers are at 7, and only one game separates the 3. So the Lakers could easily move back to the 5 spot if they could win out. Golden State right now is in the 8, and then the Grizzlies have locked up a play-in spot at 9, and the Spurs are close to locking up a play-in spot at 10. So once again, 10 versus 9. The winner of that will play the loser of 7 versus 8 for the 8 seed. The winner of the 7 versus 8 gets the number 7 seed. Confused yet? Go to NBA.com. It can explain all of it. But or you can just wait and let it all sort out and figure out who plays who. But the bottom line is this. It's been a long time since I've seen the NBA playoffs have so much uncertainty. Because usually there's a super, super clearly number 1 seed in each conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's usually a tier of really falling off. And this year there's not as much of that. In either conference. And so there's a lot of positioning here in the next few games. Every game is important. And one of the ideas of the play-in tournament, as much as Dusty and I aren't huge fans of it, I will say one of the pros to it is it makes games like the Lakers-Knicks last night very, 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 very important.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a game for the Grizzlies very important to try to get a play-in spot. That game normally that might not be as important. So it prevents teams from tanking as much. And it allows teams to maybe make a late run, get hot, and make the playoffs. And once you get in the dance, anything is possible. And there have been, believe it or not, an 8's beaten a 1 a few times in the NBA playoffs. Anything is possible.
Yeah, got to go out and play them. I just like if the Spurs make it to the 10, it's just like they don't deserve to be here. I don't want a part of it. But, you know, I feel like a lot of people feel that way. But it is what it is. And you got the chance. You move forward and maybe you get a win and can boost your confidence and do something in the playoffs.
Yeah.
No matter who it is that wins that game. If you're a 9 or a 10, you know, you get in there and didn't think you'd have an opportunity, and now you do. So.
Mm-hmm. And back to baseball for a moment. Ohtani for the Angels. Remember he had Tommy John surgery, and then people like, oh, you should just play one spot. I think it's great that he's trying to pitch and hit. And it's working out so far.
Mm-hmm.
His ERA is 2. Last night, 7 innings pitched, 1 run, 4 hits, 10 strikeouts. He threw 62 of his 88 pitches for strikes, ERA just over 2. He was dominant in probably his best start of his career in the big leagues. Now, unfortunately, his team did lose because his team couldn't score any runs, just 1-8 innings against Houston. And the bullpen gave up 4 runs. But still, Ohtani, he's had a couple of big-time hits this year, too, in regards to he's got power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great for the game that he keeps trying to do both. I do. I the old fuddy-duddies. I'm going to tell you what. Baseball is way too many fuddy-duddies. I'm just going to say it right now. They're way too many. You know, did you see what Noah Syndergaard said? This is very good stuff. Well, I think it's good stuff because it's somebody that says and speaks his mind. Now, remember, this is a guy that Buzz back will see his Escobar in a World Series game. So Royals
for no apparent reason.
For no apparent reason, right. But,
I mean, he had one in his own mind, but.
Yeah, but this is, and I agree with Noah Syndergaard on this one, though. Noah Syndergaard, in an interview with GQ's Clay Skipper, the hurler lamented baseball's unwritten rules and said the game needs to be more exciting. Here's what Syndergaard said regarding baseball's unwritten rules. I think they're pretty stupid. Anything unwritten sounds pretty stupid. I think it's very old school, and I think there needs to be a new school approach. He then said the sport of baseball is soft. I think baseball's gotten soft, too, he said, and I quote, I think there should be some more bleep talking. I agree with what Trevor Bauer recently said about the celebration. He gave up 2 home runs to Fernando Tatis, and Tatis heckled him pretty good. I think that's awesome. I agree with Bauer. That does not warrant somebody to get thrown at, so forth and so on. So Syndergaard is saying, listen, let's just have fun. Let's make the game entertaining, and let's forget these stupid unwritten rules. His words, not mine, but I agree. I've said it before. Unwritten rules are stupid. There are no rules. If they're not written down, they're not rules. Like, you can sit here and tell me there's a rule that you must do this while you're driving. If it's not on the books, there's no rule. Well, you're breaking a law. No, if it's not a law, I'm not breaking a law, okay? So you can, well, it's an unwritten law. Well, show me the invisible ink. I can't read invisible ink, okay? I can't read unwritten. It is one of the dumbest things. It always has been. There's so many weird things about baseball. One of the funniest things about baseball, in my opinion, is when the guys come from the bullpen when there's a fight. they waddle out like penguins, and they have no intent of doing anything.
It's like, oh, I'm going to act all tough and punch myself and slap myself in the chest. Woo, stick out my pectoral muscles. Waddle and, you know, shake my booty and come out all huffy puffy. And then get there and then pull somebody back off of a pile. Or better yet, everybody's already returned to the dugout.
Yeah, everybody's leaving.
Just stay in the bullpen. Play pickleball like the Cubs pitchers did recently. Did you see that before a game? They're playing pickleball in the bullpen. By the way, pickleball might catch baseball someday. I don't know, man. Pickleball is becoming... We were at a store, Shields, there in Kansas City. There's a whole aisle now of pickleball.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, paddles are $90. I'm playing pickleball now. I play a little bit against Lori at the Instigate Wellness Center. It's a great workout. I used to play tennis, and it's something better for me and on my body playing pickleball, and it's fun. And so that's a new sport. You know, there's so many different sports we talked about and choices. But Noah Syndergaard's sitting here going, listen, baseball, come on, people. This is stupid. Unwritten rules are stupid. We're all getting riled up because somebody gets excited. Well, if you're raised a certain way, this is the way you feel it's supposed to be. But I've said before over and over, and I know as I get older, I'm going to probably be more and more of a hypocrite when I say these things. But there's three constants in life: death, taxes, and change. And taxes were supposed to be not a regular thing.
Not a constant, yeah.
No, it was supposed to be a temporary thing. But we got those for the rest of eternity. Why? Because, you know, people love getting free money from the people that work hard for it. So that ain't going anywhere unless you blow out all your elected officials to where they aren't reelected or whatever else and so forth and so on. So taxes are here to stay. Death, nobody is immortal. So we're all going to die at some point. And then change. Change happens. I mean, we can do everything we want. All of a sudden, COVID happened. That's called change. It changed our life, whether we liked it or not. If you're a baseball fan, change is going to happen. You know, we got seven-inning doubleheaders. We got a runner to start on the 10th inning on second base. And you know what else needs to change is these stupid unwritten rules. And by the way, you're not changing anything because they weren't written.
Not, yeah.
They were never written. What were they? On an ancient Egyptian pyramid tablet? Oh, scribble. Baseball shall not have fun while hitting a home run. Oh, come on. Just enjoy the game because the game needs some pizzazz. It needs some electricity. And sometimes we don't have it. So you know what? I know Royals fans may still not like Noah Syndergaard because he brushed back Aseydis Escobar. But let me tell you something right now. He's right. The unwritten rules are stupid. They sound stupid. They sound stupid because you can't even find them because they're unwritten. So it is ridiculous. I've heard this. Well, you don't bunt for a hit in a no-hitter. Who said? It makes perfect sense to bunt when a guy's throwing a no-hitter. If you can't hit the guy, find a way to get on. Bunting is legal. So it's not Bush League. I know some people think that. Here's an idea. If you can't beat the guy legally when he's throwing fastballs to hit it out of the infield, then bunt it 6 feet and see if the catcher or pitcher can make a throw to first. Use your speed and beat it out and get an infield single. Your job as a hitter is not to worry about the unwritten rules of a guy having a no-hitter for the other team. That is so dumb. Your intent as a player is to what as a batter? No matter what the score is, get on base. Get on base. Get on base. Get hit by a pitch, walk, catcher's interference, get a hit. If you get a bunt single, at the end of the day, when you look at the box score the next day, anybody that didn't watch the game are going to say you got a base hit. An infield single goes 6 feet. That a bunt single is a base hit. Just like a rocket down the line that's cut off by the left fielder and they hold you to a single, it's the same result. Mm-hmm. It sounds crazy. That's the beauty about baseball is that you can hit the crap out of the ball and hit a lot. I saw it last night. Take the pitcher's head off almost, and he catches it. You're out. And then a guy hits one off the plate and nubs out for 10 feet, and he's on with an infield single. Life's not fair. Baseball's not fair. But that's part of the game. Do you think it's Bush League if it's 10-0 in the seventh inning and a guy's bunting for a hit? I'll listen to that a little bit, but at the end of the day, he's playing by the rules. He's not doing anything. Oh, wait a minute. He violated the unwritten rules. If you can't show me in print there's a rule or a law, then shut up, because I'm not following it. Listen, if you come into my house and you tell me that there's a rule about how I'm supposed to keep my blinds shut so you can't see me when I take my shirt off, you show me the rule, because I'm going to take my shirt off, baby. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going that far. I usually close the curtains and make sure nobody can see me. And why are you looking in my window anyway, exactly. You peeping Toms? So, listen, The bottom line is this. If it's a rule or a law, it's on the books, then there's a law to be broken. And if the law is broken, then it gets implemented in regards to the law enforcement, whatever. In baseball, you break a rule. Okay, there's a rule. That's supposed to be enforced by the umpires, okay? That's why they're out there. But when there is no rule and somebody says it's unwritten, what other sport has unwritten rules? It's one of the most weird things you'll ever hear. It's like, what does that even mean?
Well, these old guys back in the day smoking cigars came up with these rules, but they did not have a pen and thus did not write it down. And so now you must remember the unwritten rules even though you cannot read them.
It's just mind-boggling dumb. It always has been. I've never liked it. It makes baseball unique, I guess, from that aspect, but it still just blows my mind how silly it is. And for people to get all riled up about a guy trying to bunt to get on, that's within the rules. If he's breaking a rule, listen, here's another rule. I saw this, and this is basketball rule, by the way. And I know our coaches have taught our teams this, and I know I help coach younger teams, and we taught them this. If the game, if you're hanging on to a lead and the other team is out of timeouts and the team makes a bucket, okay, and there might be 10 seconds on the clock and the ball goes through the basket, you don't, as a player for the team has a lead, you don't hurry and grab the ball and try to throw it in. You let it roll. You let it roll. You let the clock run as long as it will, as long as the official will let you do it, because the five count doesn't usually count until you pick up the ball. And I saw that on a traveling basketball game recently, and all the fans on our team were just up in arms because they're like, he can't do that. Yes, he can. he can do that. He absolutely can do that. You know why? Because the official allows it to happen. So he doesn't start a five count. So, for instance, let me give you an example. So let's say your team is behind, and your team hits a three-pointer to cut the game to two. And there's 9.5 seconds, okay? And the clock continues to run, by the way. It's not like in pros or whatever. So it goes through the net. The ball then is bouncing around. And then the guy that goes in for the other team with a two-point lead that usually will throw it in, he hasn't grabbed the ball. In fact, he just runs to the baseline, but then he doesn't grab the ball. And it's rolling around near the wall or the mat behind you, or it's underneath the goal. And the clock continues to run. The other team's burned all their timeouts, so they can't stop the clock. So then what happens is, sometimes the official hurry, he'll try to get the ball, throw it to the inbounder, he catches it, and then the five count starts. And then sometimes the official absolutely doesn't have he's not close to the ball, he doesn't worry about it, he lets a lot of clock run off before he starts the five count when the kid finally picks it up. So if the kid picks it up with 3 seconds, now he's really be silly to throw the ball in because he's got a 5 full seconds and the clock shows 3 and ticking. There's no need to throw the ball in. So in essence, what you've done is you've taken advantage of a running clock with the other team with no timeout by not picking up the ball right away, and you burn 9 seconds and you don't have to throw the ball in, even though you're allowed 5 to get it in. Mm-hmm. But if you're smart enough and let the ball roll around, the official usually doesn't immediately blow his whistle and say, hey, stop the clock here, stop the clock. That's not how it works, because that's another timeout that the official's not supposed to be calling. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit of a loophole, no doubt. It's not even a rule. There is no rule. It's just that there is no rule against
it. Playing by the rules.
You're playing by the rules, right? Is my point.
Yeah.
My point is you're playing by the rules. Now, a lot of fans don't understand the rules. That's a big shocker. And so the people that were on our team, we were down in the situation. They're like, they can't do that. And they're getting all riled up. And I turned and I said, yeah, they can. I said, it's smart. I told them, it's smart. They didn't probably want to hear that. But I was like, I know the game. That's brilliant. It's smart. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. I said, you know what? That's the punishment you have when you burn all your timeouts. If you wouldn't have been behind the whole game and have to burn 3 timeouts in the final 2 minutes, you would have a timeout in your pocket to stop the clock when you made a bucket to cut it to 2. So you've really made your own bed. You got to lie in it. But when people are fans, they're all excited about a comeback. And I get it. I was too for our team. And I'm like, oh my gosh, hurry, get it in, get it in. Well, the other team doesn't have to get it in unless the official makes him pick it up right away, or he somehow stops the clock and so forth and so on. And so guess what? Coaches teach players at every level. It's been youth basketball has been taught. I know. I've been there. They teach it. They teach it in high school basketball. They teach it in college. I mean, when it's allowed, whatever the clock situation is in college, I don't remember. But the bottom line is there is no – somebody can say, well, it's an unwritten rule. You have to pick that ball up right away. That's just good sportsmanship. No. There is no rule against doing that. So thus, you're not breaking the rules, and you are smart enough to take advantage of that, what I would call a bit of a loophole. But you're not breaking the law at all. You're not breaking the rules, and it's within the game's rights, and so you do it. there are people that get riled up when their favorite hitter in baseball, you know, gets walked intentionally. Well, that's Bush League. Why are they scared of him? Why don't they pitch to him? It's the ultimate compliment. It means they don't want to pitch to you. It means they're scared of you. They put you on first, and then people go, well, they just need to pitch to him. Well, they just need to pitch to him. They need to pitch to him. Okay, guess what? Okay, fine. So now they're going to pitch to him. You know what happens sometimes? People then hit him on purpose because they don't want to waste a pitch count on their pitcher, so they're not going to wear out the guy's arm. So what they're going to do is, oh, you're mad because we put four fingers up and we want to walk your guy, your favorite guy. You're upset about that. What would you rather us do? Go ahead and just ping him in the head, ping him in the butt. Go ahead and throw at his shoulders. Do you want us to go ahead and hit him with a fastball? What do you want us to do? Because here's the bottom line is, your kid ain't getting nothing hit. Okay? Your kid is so good, he ain't getting nothing hit. So guess what? And within the rules of baseball, I can what? Walk you. So I walk you. That is not cheating. That is not even Bush. You can call it Bush League all you want. It's smart. It's smart, 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 especially when you have other players behind that person in the order that can't hit the ball or struggle to hit the ball. Or look at the game. Listen, why are you going to pitch to a guy that's hit two home runs in a game and the guy behind him is 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts? You're going to walk the guy in front of him and you go to the next guy. Well, that's not fair. That guy deserves a right to hit. Well, guess what? It's within the rules. They're playing by the rules. You might not like it, but there is no unwritten rule that says you can't walk somebody 3 times in a game. Ask Barry Bonds. I'm sure he was frustrated. But you know what? It's up to the guys behind him in the lineup to make them pay for that. And then once you start making them pay for that, maybe they will pitch the Barry Bonds more and more. That's just an example, another example of how people talk about, well, this is Bush League or this is that. It's the rules. You play by the rules. You are allowed to do that. You're not breaking any rules. Okay, because if the rules were reversed, you'd be all for doing that if you're on the other team. Mm-hmm. So you got to sit here and take off your blinders, everyone. And the same thing with baseball. When you get all riled up about, well, whether it's that or whether it's, he's showing off and he's celebrating. Listen, I don't need to see junior high kids. I don't need to see traveling baseball, peewee baseball. I don't need the kids to do all this strutting stuff. I will admit, I don't need to see it at that age. I get that part, okay? But you know what? When they're professional ball players, they're paid. And you know what sports is, professional sports is? It's entertainment. That's what it's there for. Well, you know what ESPN, the first letter, stands for? Entertainment. ESPN stands for entertainment. The first letter, entertainment. 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 It's about entertaining people. People pay money to be entertained. Why do you go to a movie? To be entertained. Why do you pay for your Netflix subscription? To be entertained. Why do you pay for cable? Why do you pay for to be entertained? It's as simple as that. You pay for that service. You're paying to go to a baseball game. You pay to get MLB.com and get, you know, access to all your games if you got to do that. You pay whatever it might be to be entertained. You pay to go see a show. You go see a singer in concert. You're paying to be entertained. Are you disappointed when you're not entertained to your satisfaction? Absolutely. Are you disappointed when you buy a ticket to a ball game and your favorite player isn't playing, or your favorite player gets walked 4 times, or your favorite player gets benched, or whatever it might be, or gets thrown out because the umpire or the referee throws him out? That's the risk you took when you bought the ticket. Mm-hmm. All right? There is nothing guaranteed to you when you buy a ticket. So when people get riled up about a guy having fun hitting a home run in Major League Baseball, or a guy having excitement for having a slam dunk, or a guy having fun for shooting a 3-pointer. Listen, I am all for being the team concept. Don't get me wrong. I don't like kids at the high school level bring a lot of attention to themselves with these things that they do, okay? And I do understand that if the pros do it, they end up kind of being, in ways, role models, mentors for younger people, and they get emulated. I do get that as well. But I'm going to tell you right now, professional athletes – do not, there is nothing, here's another unwritten thing again. Well, professional athletes are supposed to be role models. Professional athletes got to be a role model for my kid. Listen, if you're depending on Noah Syndergaard to be your role model, you might want to look at what's happening inside your house, because there are other people that need to be role models. If you're relying on a person you've never met, well, Brad Pitt's my role model, but now he's not married anymore. And he should never been your role model. And Charles Barkley said it before, I'm not your role model. He's right. they don't have to be. Athletes didn't sign up on a contract, and it was written, you have to be a role model for young kids. Nowhere. Oh, wait a minute. That might have been an unwritten rule. My bad. Maybe that was an unwritten rule that I did not see in the invisible ink. And you can sit here and you can say, well, professional athletes owe it to young people to be good examples. You know what? I understand it, but that's your belief. All you have when you say that is your belief. You know what? I tend to believe that too, but technically it's really ill-conceived. Because Noah Syndergaard, Salvador Perez, you can come up, Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis, I don't care, whatever baseball player, same thing with the NBA player, same thing with NFL player. You know, they do. A lot of them give back. They help their communities, and that's good that they give back. They don't have to. There's nothing written in their contract, usually, that says they have to. Their job is to perform. Their job is to perform at a high level for their organization because they're an employee of that organization. Their job is also then, in turn, to entertain. To entertain. Okay? So when people don't like when somebody doesn't... isn't the best role model because they celebrate hot dog on the bases. I understand where you're coming from, but they have no obligation to your kid playing peewee baseball not to hot dog around the bases hitting a professional home run against a pitcher that throws 100 miles an hour. So why not celebrate it? You know, why is it so, why in baseball are we not allowed to celebrate? Maybe we're allowed to celebrate in the football allows the team to celebrate in the end zone now. Mm-hmm. They used to be the no fun league. Basketball, they celebrate all the time. Why is baseball not allowed to celebrate? Why would what Tiger Woods can't do a fist pump when he makes a putt? That's called celebrating as well. And so it's so interesting to me when we want to make up our own rules, and which are really our own unwritten rules, oddly enough, in this whole conversation, and say, well, you're sending a bad message when the kid is hot dogging around the bases and my kid learns from that, so forth and so on. Well, maybe you should sit down with your kid watching baseball and say, listen, that's fun. He celebrated it. When you get to that level, you can do that. But listen, that's really not sportsmanlike at a peewee game or at a high school game or a coach pitch game. You know, explain it to your kid, because that's what a role model does. A role model has to be active in your life. A role model or mentor is somebody that's active in your life who you've actually met that can help guide you. No professional athlete, unless you have actually met someone in person and spent time with them, is a role model for anybody. You might have this dream they are, but they're not signed up to be role models. Their job is to perform, and they can perform. If they ain't breaking any rules by celebrating on the base paths, Les Norman and me and other people might not like it when guys go nuts and, you know, doing little things on the base paths and this and that. We might not like it when Michael Irvin celebrates a first down back in the day, and it's like, dude, act like you've been there. We might like the old Barry Sanders hand the ball to the official. And I'm old school from that standpoint. I'm all about, you know, act like you've been there and be sportsmanlike. Don't get me wrong. But you can celebrate and still be sportsmanlike. Now, when you go to taunting, that's different. I think that is different. And there are rules against taunting in sports. So that's not an unwritten rule. There are rules for that. But the job of a professional athlete is very simple. It's to perform at the highest level that they can so they can stay employed and get paid. And their sport that they play, their job as a whole, whether it be MLS, whether it be MLB, UFC, boxing, NFL, college basketball, which is not a pro sport, but we're close to it, and college football especially, but the pro sports in particular, these are paid athletes that are paid to perform. Just, they are no different than actors and country music musicians having concerts and rock stars and rappers. They are no different. They are paid to entertain. They are paid to entertain. If they do not entertain you, you will quit watching. Thus, you lose people from watching your sport. Thus, you lose revenue eventually, advertising revenue eventually, so forth and so on. So what happens? Individual sports, you market the you-know-what out of individual. Team sports, the NBA, they market you-know-what out of the individual. They're doing it more in the National Football League. Baseball's still behind the curve. But at the end of the day, when we sit here and we talk about unwritten rules, well, they can't do that. They can't do that. Show me in the rule book they can't. What, you have your own set of rules? That's fine. You have your own set of rules at your house. But your rules at your house don't apply to somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Your rules don't carry forward to how you think baseball should be played. So when you don't think a guy should go around the bases hot-dogging a home run, and when you don't think a guy should be hit by a pitch to put him on first, or if you don't think a guy should be intentionally walked, that's your belief. But guess what? Those aren't the rules. Your beliefs are not the rules. And so when a player or an athlete or a team or a manager plays strictly by the rules, and then you want to argue, well, they violated an unwritten rule, I'm done talking to you. You lost me. Because if you want to enforce unwritten rules as a baseball fuddy-duddy, as I call you, and that's fine. I'm not trying to insult you because I'm somewhat kind of like that. I'm really speaking from two sides of my mouth right now. I am. I'll be honest with you. I can see both sides of it. But at the end of the day, technically, there's no rules being broken at all because they're not written. And so to expect people, do you follow a whole bunch of unwritten rules in your life? You probably do. But they're not necessarily rules. They're beliefs.
Yeah.
There's a difference. They're not written down rules, okay? And belief. They're more beliefs is what they are. This is what baseball is. They say unwritten rules. Really, honestly, it's incorrect to even word it that way. It's unwritten beliefs. That's what this is. Baseball's unwritten beliefs. Well, you can't hit a guy anywhere. You only can hit the guy with a curveball, not a fastball. Show me where that rule is. That's your belief. You think it's safer to hit a guy lower torso than in the rib cage. Other guys believe that's where it's going to make you stay off the plate. I'm going to hit you in the rib cage. All right? Guy's got so much padding, I might try to hit you high in the shoulder, but I'm not trying to hit you in the head. And there's some guys that are probably trying to buzz you above the head. Mm-hmm. And guess what? There's no rule that says you can't buzz anybody anywhere. But there are people that think there are rules like that. Well, that's horse pucky. You shouldn't be throwing anywhere above the torso. You said should. When you say should, now we're talking belief. We're not talking rules. You shouldn't hot dog after you hit a home run. Okay? I'm not saying I disagree with you, but you and I may have the same belief, but that's not a rule. So thus, you can whine all you want about it, but it's not. And so when Noah Syndergaard's sitting here saying, you want to have all these unwritten rules, they're stupid. I agree.
Yeah, I can't add a whole lot to that because I agree with all of that. I mean, now there is a rule if you're buzzing somebody and you can't get warned, mm-hmm. and if you do it again, even if you don't hit them, you can't be ejected.
Yes, you can.
So
if you're throwing with intent, trying to harm on purpose,
and so
which is a judgment
but
call.
But that doesn't. There's no interpretation of where you threw the ball.
Right.
Where that doesn't mean anything.
No, there's no rule that says it was within 2 inches of his head. He's ejected.
So now he's out. Yeah.
No, there isn't. We saw that with Yordan Ventura a few times, didn't we? When he pitched.
Oh yeah. He definitely, their first stretch was fired up and people didn't like him. Royals fans didn't like him at a time there too.
Who are the people most up in arms and upset about this entertaining way? Like, who are the people that are upset with Fernando Tatis hot dogging a little bit or having fun on the base paths, mocking a pitcher from something he did earlier in the year? By the way, the pitcher has no problem with it, Trevor Bauer. So if he doesn't have a problem with it and the hitter doesn't have a problem with it, why do we care?
Mm-hmm.
But people get up in arms in it. But why, who are the people that are all upset about that stuff? It isn't the younger generation.
No, it's the older viewers.
It's the older people. And younger people call the older people in this situation fuddy-duddies. And there's other words for
it. They call them olds.
They call them old. Well, that's true. Just call them flat out old.
They call them olds.
You're outdated, olds.
Plural.
Yeah. fuddy-duddies, probably an old term. There you go. Maybe it's the older people I'm talking about called their parents fuddy-duddies.
Yeah, that was our generation. And then the one next above us probably that had the fuddy-duddy thing.
So I'm old. that establishes that. But basically the people that are upset about these so-called unwritten rules and they don't like this, they don't like that, well, guess what? You're either going to have to deal with it if you want to still be a baseball fan because they ain't going to change back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like it, you're going to have to find another sport. And maybe that's pickleball. Which I don't know if there's any unwritten rules about pickleball. I'm still learning the game. I haven't read the rule book, but so I agree with Noah Syndergaard. The unwritten rules are stupid. I've always thought they're stupid because something that isn't written, how can you call it a rule in regards to a sport? Now, I know you have a rule in your house that isn't written. It's not like at home you have your kids
made
20,000 rules and said, you cannot enter the house without taking your shoes off first. Okay, I know that's an unwritten rule, but that's that's not the same thing.
Because we all have just, house rules.
We all have our own house rules. But any sport, it's actual, there's a rule book. And none of these unwritten rules are in a rule book. Why? Because they're, hang with me, people, they're unwritten. And thus, they're not in any rule book. And those are some of the rules that everybody gets all riled up about. And you're all arguing about something that actually doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Ironic?
Well, it's ridiculous.
Isn't it just kind of it is ridiculous. You know, you hate to say the word stupid or dumb too much, but I mean, I won't even rephrase it. Noah Syndergaard, I think they're pretty stupid, to be honest. Anything unwritten sounds pretty stupid. I think it's very old school, and I think there needs to be a new school approach. And yeah, he thinks there should be more trash talk. Listen, the NBA, the NBA players trash talk each other all the time. Why can't you do it in baseball?
Oh, it's an
It'll lead to a brawl. It'll lead to this. It'll lead to that. We'll crack down on the rules on brawls, and you'll be fine. The NBA doesn't have brawls every day.
It'll lead to a meeting of two teams coming out of the dugout and yelling at each other.
In the bullpen brawling. Coming out 5 minutes later, like we established earlier. No, all you got to do is put in a rule. If you allow all the trash talking. Mm-hmm. Why not? You know, allow the people to talk and have fun with it. It happens in NBA, and as long as they're trash talking each other, guys don't get teed up for it. I'm not saying I like trash talking, but what I'm saying is the NBA has it. Has the NBA had, I mean, yes, there was a horrible brawl, the Malice in the Palace years ago, and that had nothing to do with trash talking, okay? So, well, it might have a little bit, but it was more about hard fouls and this and that and whatever else. But the bottom line is the NBA has a lot of trash talking. Hockey has trash talking. And yeah, they can fight on the ice, so that takes care of itself.
It's embraced in hockey.
Yeah, it's embraced in hockey. Yeah. But the point being is that in other team sports, there's some trash talking that goes on, and there's trash talking in NFL all the time. And those guys don't get punished for trash talking. Now, if they taunt, it's different, but they can trash talk all they want. As long as they're not directing at the official, they ain't going to get penalized for it. So in baseball, they're not allowed to trash talk because that's an unwritten rule. Basically, Noah Syndergaard's basically saying, hey, man, I think there should be more of it. I think it makes it more entertaining and so forth and so on. Now, if that leads to tons of brawls in baseball, then, okay, that would be a problem. I see where people may be going with this. Well, you started talking about somebody's mama, and you start talking about somebody's daddy, and you start saying these really bad things and trash talking, whatever else, that could cause more problems. Well, if that's the case, why don't we have fights all the time in the NBA? Why don't we have problems in other sports? Okay? Because they have rules. Mm-hmm. In the NBA, you leave the bench, you're automatically suspended. So guess what? In Major League Baseball, you want to adapt and change the rules and make it a written rule. Here's one I've always said. If you leave the bullpen, you're suspended for the next baseball game. It should be the same thing as an NBA game. Why do you need guys coming from the bullpen out late when guys are piled on each other throwing haymakers? All you're doing is creating a cheap shot situation from somebody that's coming in from behind on the fight. Baseball can very well protect if they ever start saying, okay, you can trash talk all you want as long as it's not directed to the umpire. Okay, that could be very interesting. You could have some fun trash talking that could be pretty clean. A lot of it won't be. I get it. But if it happens to other sports, they have rules enacted to make sure that things don't get out of hand. There's always an exception to everything, obviously. Then if the Major League Baseball could easily do that. They could say, listen, nobody can leave the dugout or the bullpen or you're automatically suspended for the next game. You don't think that would end any baseball brawl? Listen, if a guy hits a guy, if a pitcher hits a guy, the only two guys that should fight should be the pitcher and the hitter. Let Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura go at it. That was fun. And it pretty much was them one-on-one for about 10 seconds. And Nolan wrestled the steer and took him down and started punching him. That is entertaining to me. Boxing is having problems to me. When they are talking about Logan and Jake Paul, and that's their big people to talk about, who are YouTubers or whatever else. I'm sorry, I'm not hip, so I don't know all the terminology. But if that's the biggest thing boxing has, baseball should get more trash talking and then allow nobody to come from the dugout, nobody from the bullpen, and you have these one-on-one matchups. You want to take on Brad Keller? All right, Tim Anderson with the Chicago White Sox that flips your bat. Let's go ahead and talk after you hit a home run. And you know what? That's where baseball can police things. If you don't like hot dogging, okay, go ahead, have a one-on-one fight. Take him down. You know you're going to get suspended, but guess what? That guy might not hot dog you. Go tackle him and take him down. And now you're sitting here going, well, now, Wade, you're talking about assault. Okay, well, you can hit a batter with a pitch. That would be assault, too. The point being is that you can make things entertaining with trash talking because you have it in other sports, and you just limit it to the players on the field. You don't allow anybody from the dugout, nobody from the bullpen, because guess what? The NBA doesn't allow it.
And if you do, there's a huge, huge penalty that really hurts your team for many games going forward. So there's another rule change I just presented to you. Brawls only involve the guys on the field. Anybody else is suspended for at least one game if they come out of the dugout or if they come out of the bullpen. Oh, we're just trying to keep the peace. Are you kidding me? The other players that are on the field can try to keep the peace. Well, it's not fair if there's just one guy, my hitter, going up against nine. Well, then guess what you do? You say anybody other than the pitcher and the hitter involved, yeah. There's only two guys going to be involved, and anybody else gets involved, you're automatically suspended. And you know what you would end up having? A hockey fight!
Yeah.
And who doesn't like a good old hockey fight? Come on, people, be honest. You go to a hockey game, are you really looking for goals? Are you looking for a fight? I'm going to tell you, my kids are like, my oldest, we went to a hockey game once. He's like, I hope there's a fight. You know what people say when they go to a NASCAR race? I hope there's a wreck.
Yeah.
Which is sad because that's putting people's lives in danger. And yes, a fight, you could get a concussion. You could get a horrible brain injury if you're getting hit in the head. So you're sitting here going, well, wait, you're condoning violence and saying you want violence. I'm just talking what people tend to like. When they go to a hockey game, their first thing, a lot of people, now the real diehard hockey fans want to see hockey. But your lay fans want to see what? They're like, whoo, there's a fight. That's the most exciting thing of the night. And, there was a brawl in baseball. That was pretty exciting. That was really fun. Now, NBA, it gets scary because the fans are so close, and we had the whole Malice in the Palace, and that caused a lot of problems. So there are ways to protect the game and change the rules. But here's the key. Write them down.
Yeah. Yeah.
What other sport has unwritten rules? Can you tell me?
Nothing like baseball. I mean, there's unwritten stuff as far as maybe like how a game is called in the NBA.
Yes,
like
right.
What the officials
don't call
do.
In the last 2 minutes.
You know, there's that looser. Kind of stuff. You foul 90 feet away from the basket, they don't call that. If it's going to impact the game, some people do, though.
Right.
And if it's a foul, they call it. They deem, hey, if it's a foul now, if it's a foul at the 3-minute mark, it's a foul at the 47-minute mark in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some people that officiate that way. But there's nothing like long-standing tradition of since 1900 that you can't walk across my mound when you're going back to your dugout. You know, like stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? There's not – I don't think there's any of that in any other sport like that.
No.
There are different ways that people interpret and enforce rules.
Mm-hmm.
As far as officials during games, but nothing as far as an unwritten rule that they go by.
The only one I can think of that's been kind of recent, that's not in baseball, and it's not really even an unwritten rule. It's just that it kind of gets policed by the team itself. And that is when a NFL player goes to midfield on top of the other team's logo. We saw Juju Smith-Schuster. We saw T.O. do it, of course, and we saw him get tackled. And so guys took that as disrespect, but then they take it out on them during a game. So it's not necessarily an unwritten rule. It's just a sign of disrespect. So then you take that as motivation, and then you either take care of the guy on the logo or you take care of him during the game. If he wants to choose to go mock your logo and dance all over it, there's no rule that says he can't. In pregame warm-ups, he can do that. There is no rule in the NFL that says you can't go step on the other team's logo at midfield. There is no rule about that. Now, teams can still get upset about it, and they can go ahead and try to take it out on the guy during the game. That's they're policing it themselves. That's fine. And the same thing here. And that's one thing that baseball's talked about is you want to go ahead and mock me. Well, I'll take care of it next time you come up to the plate. I'll just go ahead and buzz you and I'll hit you. And it's like, wouldn't a better way of really showing him is striking him out? Because you hit him, you put him on base. That's actually helping the other team unless you hurt him. And if you're trying to hurt him, isn't that defeat the whole purpose of what we're doing here? You know, your emotions were hurt, so now you're physically going to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really the answer to that? So forth and so on. So I could, that'd be maybe one example, not really unwritten rule per se. It's just, you know, a team doesn't like it, feels disrespected when a guy does that and says, okay, we're going to take it to that guy. And we're going to, you know, a couple times we might hit him with a late block or a late tackle. We might get him on the turf after a tackle and punch him somewhere. Or, you know, do something that I can't repeat on the radio and give him a little bit of his own medicine. But we're going to do it ourselves. That's one of the reasons people don't like the unwritten rule about a pitcher being able to basically come back and hit the guy. Like, you get the one free shot, and then, of course, what? Then it's a warning. usually. Mm-hmm. It's a warning, and then if you do it again, you're thrown out of the ball game and so forth. Some people don't even like the warnings at all. They said, hey, that's what's great about baseball. Baseball players police themselves, and you want, they want to have a brawl, they have a brawl, and then if guys get hurt, they get hurt. And that's another reason why you don't see many brawls anymore in baseball, because there's too much money involved. Is it really worth, you know, trying to act all macho because you gave up a home run that you're going to hit the guy on the next at bat, he comes charging at the mound, and then he breaks your pitching arm, and that's worth, you know, $10 million a season to you? That's probably, and it could shorten your career. Is it really worth it? And that's why you don't see as many of these brawls in baseball. I'm convinced of that, no doubt, because there's just too much money involved. But back in the old days, man, you had these brawls happen a lot, and the players would police themselves. And that would be the argument behind, oh, don't let the umpires worry about warnings and this and that. It'll take care of itself. Well, I disagree with that to an extent, because obviously if you hit a guy in the head and, you know, end his career, or worse yet, his life, or something bad like that, then, you know, the reason you have umpires there is to maintain the peace. I mean, imagine a boxing match where you don't have a referee. Yeah. The guy's knocked out unconscious, and the ref comes in and tries to save him. And so you have to have that some kind of rule, and you got to have rules. But unwritten rules, yeah, we live by them every day. We have unwritten rules in our house. We have unwritten rules. We have beliefs, and beliefs aren't usually written down. And I think that's what I'm trying to say here, is baseball really has what people tend to have more as beliefs than rules. And we can sit here and say that, well, they shouldn't have done that. Well, many times when you say they shouldn't have done that, you're talking about what you believe and not an actual rule. And there is a gigantic difference. Gigantic.
Yeah.
I have a rule. I must have ice cream every day. 10:15 is our time on a Wednesday. It's not written, so thus it's stupid.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.